नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th कैंटो 17th चैप्टर वर्स 10 टाइटल द हिस्ट्री ऑफ कालिया। मीनां दुखितां दृष्ट्वा दीनान् मीन्त पतोधते कृपया सौभरीय प्राह तत्र क्षेमे आचरन् मीनान् सुदुःखमितान् दृष्ट्वा दीनान् मीन पतोधते कृपया सौभरीय प्रिया तत्रत्या क्षेमे आचरण मीनान् सुख दुखितान् दृष्ट्वा दीन मीन पतोहते कृपया सौभरीय प्राह तत्रत्यात् क्षेमे आचरण मीतान। ट्रांसलेशन एंड प्रपर्ड बाय हिज रेवरेंस ग्रेसी एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। सीइंग हाउ द अनफॉर्चुनेट फिश इन दैट लेक हैड बिकम मोस्ट अनहैप्पी एट द डेथ ऑफ देयर लीडर सौभरी अटर्ड द फॉलोइंग कर्स अंडर द इंप्रेशन दैट ही वॉज मर्सीफुली acting for the benefit of lake's resident. Very small purport. In this regard, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that when our so-called compassion does not tally with the orders of Supreme Lord, it merely causes disturbance. Because Sobhri had forbidden Garuda coming to that lake, Kalia moved in and made his headquarters there, and this spelled doom for all the lake's residents. ओम अज्ञान तिमरंधस्य ज्ञान। सीइंग हाउ द अनफॉर्चुनेट फिश इन दैट लेक हैड बिकम मोस्ट अनहैप्पी एट द डेथ ऑफ देयर लीडर सौभरी अटर्ड द फॉलोइंग कर्स अंडर द इंप्रेशन दैट ही वॉज मर्सीलेसली एक्टिंग फॉर द बेनिफिट ऑफ द लेक रेजिडेंट्स फॉर द इन द बिगनिंग आई वुड लाइक टू सीक योर ब्लेसिंग्स to say something, to empower me to say something. This is actually a very important verse. And before discussing this particular shlok, let us see the brief history. Garuda was a pure devotee of the Lord, and he was in a unique position. He has been giving unique service as the personal carrier of the Lord. He was extremely powerful and always protected by the Lord. Ramanka Island was the abode of serpents, and Garuda or birds like Garuda, for them serpents are the normal and natural food. So in order to purchase the protection of Garuda, the serpents decided that they will make an offering to Garuda every month. But Kalia, who was very arrogant and envious, he would first go and eat the offering, and this made Garuda very, very unhappy. Actually, he defied the orders of Garuda and he offended Garuda. So he immediately rushed to kill Kalia, and fearing Garuda's strength, he took shelter of this lake, which is adjoining the Jamuna. Because he knew that he is protected by the curse of Sobhri Muni, because Sobhri Muni had cursed Garuda not to enter the lake or even approach the lake. So The reason for the curse is given in this particular shloka, verse which we are under discussion. So Saurabhi Muni was a powerful yogi, and due to performance of severe austerities, he has gained great powers, mystic powers. Once he has decided to go deep into the Yamuna for austerities, and since he was there for quite some time, he developed attachment and affection for the fish. So when he saw that Garud has eaten the leader of the fish, and all the fish are very unhappy, then he, under this impression that actually his curse will benefit the jalchars, the residents of the lake, he cursed him. And as I told you, he cursed that he cannot enter this lake, and he even cannot approach this lake. Otherwise, if he defies his order, he will lose his life. This means that he will be killed if he defies his order. So if we analyze this particular verse, we find very interesting and important principles which emerge from this. Saurabhi's misdeed, his misadventure, his lack of spiritual knowledge, and compassion without proper knowledge, how it can cause havoc. So we will discuss all these points separately. So first we'll discuss the nature of the misadventure of Saurabhi Muni. Because this misadventure means that he was interfering with the laws of nature. As we all know that the normal food for birds like Garud or the natural food is fish. And by the arrangement of the Lord has made plans so that every living entity has his own food, particular type of food Lord has planned for every living entity. And we see that in many lower species of life, those living entities survive or live on food or other living entities. Matlab, many living entities has their food as other living entities. This is the law of nature the Lord has prescribed. So there is a saying that one man's food is other man's poison. So in this case, since the arrangement of the Lord is perfect, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dhekshan Prakriti Suyate Sacharatanam, this material nature is working under my direction, and according to his plan, he has provided food for everybody, in particular type of food for every living entity. So Saurabhi Muni, because of his very great powers, he was very proud of that. And we know that when a person is proud, he is covered by the illusory energy of the Lord, and he falsely thinks himself as controller. But Saurabhi Muni is thinking that he can control because of his pride of his very great mystic powers. So in that condition, a person loses his power of discrimination, and therefore he is bound to commit mistakes, because he will be acting whimsically without any understanding of the actual facts. On the other hand, we see that it is the duty of all living entities, particularly in the human form, to see that they mitigate the sufferings of the others. Here, Garuda was very hungry, and he was eating fish because it was natural food. Instead of helping him to satisfy his hunger, he is actually doing absolutely against it. He is actually prohibiting to eat and make him suffer from the hunger. So in this case, Saurabhi Muni not only violated the principles of religion, but he has already interfered with the laws of nature. So this was most unjustified, and this was the misdeed of Saurabhi Muni. The second point is that Saurabhi Muni was actually an insignificant person before Garuda, who was a personal associate of the Lord. So if we see what is the nature of misadventure of a person who commits offenses against superiors when he exceeds one power. So if we compare the position of both Garuda and Saurabhi Muni, we find that Saurabhi Muni was well aware of the fact that Garuda was a personal associate of the Lord and is always protected by the Lord. He is loved by the Lord. This he knew. And Saurabhi Muni, by the performance of the great austerities, he acquired certain mystic powers. The mystic powers are material powers, which are temporary and bound to be lost in due course of time. He is also bound, because he is not the pure devotee, he is also bound the three modes of material nature and the rules and regulations of the material nature. But Garuda has already transcended these modes because he is a pure devotee and is the associate of the Lord. So we see that one is in the transcendental position and other is in the material position. How much difference is there? But being puffed up by his temporary powers of achievement and achievements, he failed to understand his magnificent position, that he is absolutely insignificant before the powers of the Garuda as compared to Garuda. Still, he had the audacity to curse Garuda for no fault of his, because he was eating what was normal for him. And he had the audacity to tell him that you will be killed if you don't follow my orders. If you try to approach this lake or enter this lake, you will be killed. So this type of misadventure is the cause because of the uncontrolled mind. Because when a person gets so much power, material power, he gets puffed up, and then his mind is uncontrolled. As we know that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that once whose mind is uncontrolled is his greatest enemy, and whose mind is controlled is his greatest friend. So in this case, since his mind was completely uncontrolled due to pride, he has committed this grave mistake. It is also said that if you spit on the sky, it will fall on your face. Ultimately, who is the sufferer? If you exceed your power, only you are the sufferer, because you cannot hurt the other person. So when he acted in excess of the position and misuse of power, it is said that he has fallen from his position of austerity, which will be discussed later also. So we find many instances in Srimad Bhagavatam where persons have exceeded their authorities. And I would like to discuss two of them. As you all know, that Durvasa Muni, a Brahman, powerful Brahman, had also very great mystic powers. And Amrish Maharaj, who was a pure devotee of the Lord, always protected by the Lord, he did not commit or intended to commit any offense against Durvasa Muni. But Durvasa Muni, being proud of his material powers or mystic powers, for no fault of Amrish Maharaj. This is the nature of the illusion energy of the Lord. He makes him think that he is a controller. So Durvasa Muni is also known for his unprovoked anger and proud for mystic power, because there are so many instances in Srimad Bhagavatam where we see that without any fault of the other party, Durvasa Muni has cursed them. So he cursed Amrish Muni, Amrish Maharaj, not cursed, but actually he, by throwing his mystic power, by pulling hair from his head, he created a fiery demon to kill Amrish Maharaj. So this is the nature of the materialistic person, materialistic mentality. This is the materialistic mentality that we cannot tolerate when we are very much proud of ourselves, when we are the center, actually. In material mentality, everybody considers himself the center, the controller. And they see everything in that particular reference. In spite of the fact that he did not commit any offense or intended to commit any offense, he took that offense because he has drank some water which was advised by Brahmins to break the fast, which he was advised that it is not breaking the fast as well as keeping the fast. So that was the position. But he wanted to kill him. But we know what happened. He was protected by Krishna Amrish Maharaj. Krishna sent his Sudarshan Chakra, and that killed the fiery demon, and it started running after chasing Durvasa Muni. And how much he suffered for 1 year? He was running here and there taking shelter, and ultimately he had to take shelter of Amrish Maharaj. So in this case also we see that being proud of their mystic power, which is material, they were actually offending a person who is in much superior position, a pure devotee. A person in material consciousness, in material platform, is cursing a person or trying to kill a person who is above three modes of material, who is in the transcendental platform. So this is how person acts in material consciousness. We also see the example of Sringi Brahman. He was very proud of his Brahminical powers because he was a son of a great rishi, Srimir Krishi. So when he heard that the king, Parikshit Maharaj, has put a dead snake around the neck of his father, and he also knew that Parikshit Maharaj was very thirsty and hungry, and he tried to take help from his father, but since he was in meditation, being disgusted, he did like this. He was in no of these facts, Prabhupada writes in the purport. But in spite of the fact that Amrish Maharaj, being a pure devotee and such rulers are considered to be Narpati, they are representative of the Lord. He was ruling the whole of the country according to the Shastra, according to the Dharma. Everybody is God conscious. So this was his position. But without thinking that for this small offense, without evaluating what should be the punishment, even without consulting his father, what should be done? Because if he had known, he would have forgiven him. He took, because of the position of a controller, Sringi Rishi. So This is the symptom of uncontrolled mind again. And he used his brahmical powers indiscriminately. And what he did? He cursed Amrish Maharaj to die in 7 days by the bite of the serpent, Akshat serpent. So we see that when a person is in material consciousness and he has no spiritual vision, how he acts and how he tries to show his prowess. Srila Prabhupada writes that actually by using such powers, Sringa Rishi was actually, it was the beginning of the degradation of Brahmical culture. He gives 3 points there, that by this curse he allowed Kali to enter into the field of Vedic culture, because Vedic culture will be lost because of this. Secondly, he writes that it shows, because there are 4 varnas, he shows that he thought that he is in the superior varna because he is a Brahman, and Parikshit Maharaj is Kshatriya, he is in the lower varna, and this started, he showed that hatred of the higher varna for the lower varna. So this is how things started deteriorating. And thirdly, he says that he thought that he is a Brahman, but without culture of Brahman. By birth, he has become Brahman. So this is another cause of the degradation of the caste system, because people think that we are Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra by birth, but Krishna says, Chaturvarna Maya system, Gunakam Vibhagse. It is according to one's karma and one qualification. So these are the misadventures we see in all these 3 cases, that how they exceeded their authority in cursing or offending persons who are in much superior position. So in all these 3 cases, we find that they all lacked spiritual vision. They were driven by false ego, and they were proud of possessing some mystic powers or spiritual powers. Under illusion, they considered themselves to be the controller and power points. Actually, this is the main thing. Power centers. Everybody in this material world considered they are power centers. I am the controller. This is the material consciousness. All those persons were in material consciousness. They considered themselves, they are the power centers, they are the controllers, without any spiritual vision. And therefore, they have committed such unwarranted acts, and everybody has to suffer for that. So the third point is that whenever you commit offense against superior, and the superior is a Vaishnav, then the offense becomes very severe, manifold. Because so we find here that this attitude, when a person commits some offense against superior person, but he is also a Vaishnav, it is just like we say in that particular kahavat hoti hai ki karela aur neem chadha. Karela to kalva hota hi hai, aur neem pe chadha jaye to aur bhi kadwa ho jata hai. So he has committed offense for which they have to suffer, but against is Vaishnav, which means he has to suffer even more. So this offensive attitude against the Vaishnav, one has to be very particular about that, dealing with the Vaishnav, because they have to suffer the consequences very severely. And certainly it destroys one's auspicious position. Whatever auspicious position they have, whatever good elevation they have, they actually destroy all those positions. So in this case, Saubhari Muni knew that Garuda is a personal associate of the Lord. He is loved by the Lord. He is a personal carrier of the Lord. He knew his exalted position. He is a Vaishnav. And still, he committed that offense against him. In the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described that because of this offense, Surbhi Muni actually was fallen from the position of austerity. Because when he saw two fishes in sexual act, then he perceived the pleasure of sexual life. And therefore, he left his austerities, he fell from the position of austerities, and he decided to marry. So, from the position of a yogi, where he was performing so much austerity, he was now inclined to enjoy sexual life. So, this is how far down comes. So, the fourth point I want to discuss is lack of spiritual vision by Sovereign Muni. Because of material attachment and affection for the fish, he could not see the actual position from the spiritual or higher perspective. He saw that Garuda is eating fish, but he could not see this particular act from the higher and spiritual platform. So the curse was absolutely unwarranted and uncalled for. Actually, if we see from the spiritual point of view, death is inevitable for every person, for every living entities. Jatasya hidruyo mrityu, dhruyo janma mrityasya cha. One who has taken birth, death is certain, and one who has died, birth is certain. So every person has to die. This is a reality, this is a certainty. So that fish also has a certain life span according to his karma. Actually, he is not karma, because in the lower species of there is no karma, but maybe from the previous karma, yes, the fish has to be destined to die on a particular moment. Nobody can save anybody if the death comes. So the lifespan of a living entity is already destined. Even if Sarvabhi Muni has temporarily saved them from Garuda, he is not going to save them eternally from death. Because some other creature will come and eat them, or they will die their normal death. So interfering with the laws of nature, that is, he lacked that spiritual vision, that everybody has to die. And this particular thing is what is happening, maybe by the arrangement of the Lord, by the laws of the spirit. So it was a futile attempt by the Sarvabhi Muni to protect those fish from death, because ultimately they have to die. Padam padam vibdam na tesham, because calamity can strike at any moment. Nobody knows when it will come. We may be in a very comfort zone, and calamity may strike, and we may be in difficulty, we may also die. And as soon as I reading this particular purport and the verse, I was reminded of His Holiness Radhan Maharaj's realization. He once told that when he was in Rishikesh and he was sitting on a chattan, a stone, and meditating, he saw that many fishes in a group were moving around. They were very happy. They were in their comfort zone. Maharaj said these words. But suddenly he saw that an eagle is gliding, and she came and she picked up one fish and went away. So few moments before, they were enjoying, they were in comfort zone, and a moment it was everything is finished. So this is the position. So thinking in that light that I will save this fish by cursing Garuda was actually devoid of spiritual vision. From another point of view, if we see that Vaishnavas or the pure devotees of the Lord are like touchstones. Narottam Das Thakur in one of his Vaishnav songs says that darshan pavitra hoye yahi tumhara guna. He says that a person gets purified by taking bath in the Ganges, but merely by seeing a pure devotee of the Lord, he is purified. So here we can see the such a great fortune of that fish who was touched by a pure devotee of the Lord, who was eaten by a pure devotee of the Lord as a food. Not only that fish got association of Garuda, but in an indirect way, he also served Garuda by offering him as his food, satisfied him. So we can see from the spiritual point of view the good fortune of that fish. So he could not see this from the spiritual point of view. So that fish must have got automatically liberated. Actually, he must have gone to the spiritual world by even seeing that Garuda or eaten by him or touched by him. I am reminded of one story, I think maybe few years back, I don't know, but the spirit of the story is that, I may not be remembering the exact details, but Narad Muni and Vishnu, Lord Vishnu was sitting and Lord Vishnu was describing the glories of the association of a devotee. Narad Muni, by just seeing a devotee, a person gets purified and gets liberation. So, I don't believe this, Narad Muni said. So he said that you go to the bank of the river and see what happens. So he went to the bank of the river, a fish came out of the river, and just by seeing Narad Muni, that fish died. So Narad Muni came to Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, and said, you said, told that it will be a very fortunate thing for that living entity, but I see that fish died. So Vishnu told that you don't know, you go, that particular cow is delivering a calf, you go there. That because of your association, that fish got so much elevated that now she is getting the birth in the cow's womb, from the cow's womb. So much elevation, so many lakhs of species here surpassed. When he went there, Narad Muni went there, cow delivered the calf, and the calf died. Again, Narad Muni came. What is this is happening? Again, that calf has died. They told, you don't know. That calf is now taking birth as a human being. He went there, and fortunately, he had the opportunity to preach him and make him go back to Godhead. So this is how the association, even seeing it, pure devotee of the Lord, how much benefit they get. The last point from this particular shlok, we understand that compassion has to be based on proper knowledge. Compassion in ignorance, as Prabhupada writes here, spell doom for all the residents of the matlab doom, it can doom everything around us. So we have heard in the initial days that Prabhupada used to say, and we have heard many lectures, that compassion with knowledge or without knowledge, when it is without knowledge, how harmful it is. And the very simple example was given always that a child was suffering from typhoid and he is prohibited to eat solid food or some food which is injurious to his intestines. We know that typhoid means fever of the intestines. So he was at mother, their parents were advised not to give him any solid food because it will deteriorate his condition. And that child was demanding, I want puri, I want sabji, I want halwa. And the mother was not giving. And the neighbors were there seeing it. How this mother, cruel mother is. The child is demanding this and she is not giving. They were thinking from that vision because they had no knowledge that child is suffering and is not allowed to eat solid food. So for some work, the mother has to go to the market, and the neighbor thought this is the proper opportunity to fulfill the wish of that child. And they gave them puri, halwa, sabji. Result was that because of that child died. Actually, such things actually happened in my experience with my own cousin. When I was 14, 15 years old, I had a cousin about same age. He was suffering from typhoid. And he was little better because fever was not there, but he was advised not to take any solid food by the doctor. And then Diwali came. And we know that pakwan are made, halwa, puri, kheer, everything is made. And out of compassion, or maybe whatever you may say, out of love or compassion, without knowing the fact, although they were prohibited not to give, they gave them that food. With the result that there was perforation in the intestine, and that person died. So this is how things happen when we are in ignorance and try to do compassion, because it will be injurious to the person. So we try to understand this from a very important examples of Arjun. In the beginning of the Kurukshetra war, the war was actually because of Duryodhan usurping the property of the Pandavas by evil means. And all those persons who were actually supporting him or fighting from his side were also party to the evil plan. Proper rights in the purport, they are birds of the same feather. Hindi mein bolte hain, ek hi thaili ke chatte batte hain, sab wahi log hain. So is tarah se, in this way, all were equally responsible, liable for this mischief to the Pandavas. And since devotees are very dear to Krishna, and they have done so much mischief against Pandavas, Krishna wanted to kill them. But Arjun, when he was taken in the middle of the battlefield, Krishna purposely took him to in front of Bhishma Pitame and Dronacharya because they were very dear to him. So out of compassion for them and for all the different grades of relatives and friends, he thought, because of material attachment, he thought that if I kill all these persons, even if I get that kingdom, which have opulence like a heaven, I will not be able to enjoy. This was his thought, impression, and compassion. So in this case, we find that this is because of he was self-centered. He was not considering it from the point of Krishna, what Krishna wants. He was thinking from his own point to satisfy his own senses. Here we find that Saurabhi Muni wanted to satisfy his own senses by cursing him, because I am controller, I am the power center. Similarly, Arjun was thinking that it will satisfy my senses without considering what Krishna wants. How? The purpose of life is to satisfy the senses of Krishna, not our senses. So he was lacking that compassion. He was lacking that vision in that compassion. So this way we find that this compassion of Arjun for Kauravas and his army and his relatives and friends was misdirected because it was not matching with the plan of the Lord. The plan of the Lord is supreme. And therefore, this is the same position we find in this particular case, practically. Similarly, in this case, you find that Saubhadra Muni was overcome by the desire to satisfy his own senses, himself, because of attachment to fish, and ignored, or rather interfered, with the perfect plan of the Lord. Perfect plan of the Lord, that is happening according to the laws of nature. A particular type of food is prescribed for a particular type of living entity. This is the plan of the Lord. But he is trying to ignore that and interfere with that. So this curse was actually misdirected compassion. And the result was, as Prabhupada writes here, result was that because that particular lake became unprotected. And any poisonous or arrogant or any creature can come and create havoc in that lake. He was not seeing from that point of view. He was just seeing Shreyas and prayers, just seeing what is immediately. He was not seeing from the future point of view, what is the ultimate benefit. That is our shortcomings, that we see what is beneficial at the moment, but not see from the long-term perspective. This is the dangerous condition of the creatures. So he was not aware that result was that in future dangerous creatures can take shelter of a lake without fear of anybody. And taking advantage of this particular situation, Kaliya moved into this lake. And what happened? He was such poisonous, envious snake that it actually poisoned the entire lake. Not only poisoned the entire lake, poisoned the complete atmosphere nearby, with the result that all the fishes died. Even the birds flying above that lake fell dead. Even the trees standing on the banks of the river became dried up. So this is the havoc which has been created by the curse of Saurabhi Muni. So we find and we conclude that the compassion should be based on knowledge, jnana, and should not be whimsical, and it should have a spiritual vision to benefit all. And we see from the same episode of Kaliya, Krishna's compassion. The compassion of Krishna for Kaliya. He smashed his pride, he smashed his envy, he purified his poisonous nature. He asked him to go to Ramanka Island back so that the jalchars or the environment is made free from poisonous atmosphere. And he also gave protection to Kaliya from Garuda by imprinting his footprints on his head. So this is how compassion should be. We cannot be Krishna, but we have to take lessons how Krishna compassion is. It should be beneficial to everybody. So in the end, I would say that compassion has to be based on, otherwise it can be based on knowledge, otherwise it can call havoc to so many living entities. Hare Krishna. This is how I try to analyze this particular shlok, and I hope I am able to put forward my point. And if anybody has any comments or questions, I will try to answer them. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.